Welcome to Add to Party, a friendship simulator masquerading as a new show. I'm your host, James Hartwell, and I'm joined by
Andy Kay, and I'm joined by
Derek Kostiha.
Hello.
Welcome, gentlemen.
Welcome. Oh, welcome. Welcome.
Yes, it's been a long while.
Yeah. It's been 2 weeks.
It felt like forever, all right? A minute away from you all.
Oh.
I've just been trying to drown it all in. I found a beer called Oofta, and I'm drinking it right now.
And you're not spitting it out?
Mm-mm. But I thought that was a fun name because I found myself that I say Oofta when I stand because obviously
standing. You're an old man.
Yes, exactly. And then I was like, oh, a beer called Oofta. That's kind of fun. And I opened it. What's up?
Who makes it?
New Glarus.
I haven't heard of them.
They like to have fun.
Yeah, they're a Wisconsin brewery. Oh.
Yeah. They make a beer that everybody says is the, well, it's not the actual best beer, but they make something called Spotted Cow. And if you know, like, anybody that lives around Wisconsin, they'll be like, oh, man, Spotted Cow. Oh, that's the best. Why don't you sell it here? Blah, blah, blah. And when you have Spotted Cow, it's just fine. It's just fine. But I don't know why any time you bring up beer in Wisconsin from someone around Wisconsin, they always bring up Spotted Cow. I don't know why.
Well, my there goes favorite the Wisconsin beer. Segment of our fans.
Just what, yeah, Wisconsin segment of fans. How do you feel about Spotted Cow? Hopefully I didn't just diss your favorite beer. It's not bad. It's a good drink. It's easy to drink. It's kind of smooth.
Is it an ale?
A little cow on it. What's up?
Is it a lager? Is it an ale?
I couldn't tell you. As much as I drink beer, I don't know all the different kinds. What is a Spotted Cow? I know there's one that I don't like, and I think they're like Weisses. I have no idea. What is a Spotted Cow beer? It's a Belgian style ale.
Okay.
Are those easy drinks? Are those easier to drink? I just think
they're usually they're a little wheat forward.
Oh, wheat forward. Okay.
Light. I think usually lower ABV.
You know, I'm looking up, as I looked up Spotted Cow, beeradvocate.com gives it a score of 85. And, you know, for something I hear about all the time, I'd expect a beer better than an 85.
Yeah, but isn't it kind of like wine? Beer Advocate's like Wine Spectator or Spectre, where it's like...
What does that mean?
Like everything is like an 80s, high 80s, low 90s.
Because oh, so you're saying that like they don't.
It's like game reviews.
Oh. Wait, so no. If it was a game review, if it's not a 10, then it's trash.
Hold on, Andy. Does Beer Advocate themselves gave it a read that grade, or that was the average reviews?
I saw it says a score of 85.
Oh, okay. No. Beer I've picked up is in the NA for their score.
Oh, well, I'm trying to look up what my favorite beer was. OG, rip the brewery that is now gone from us. OG beer. Let's look at, let's see what that was. Let's see how bad my taste
probably
is.
Ooh, 3.7.
Uh-oh. I like trash beer.
No, you don't.
I like garbage beer.
And that's okay. But also, I think it's out of 5. Yeah, it's out of 5. So it's not that bad.
No, it's horrible. Oh, wait. Beer Advocate gives it an 86. Get wrecked, Spotted Cow. Oh!
Your favorite. Really excited about one, it's only 1 point better.
Doesn't matter. It's a mile better. Well, not that we have to keep harping on beer talk, but oof, do I feel validated.
Oofta.
Thank you. But, you know, when I opened this beer... I bought way back when, a Buster Sword bottle opener.
Ooh, that's cool.
And I used that to open this beer because, and you don't realize it now, but a lot of stuff comes in cans. So I had no use for my bottle opener. So I specifically bought beer that came in glass bottles.
Andy, it sounds like that is a can opener that doubles as a shotgunning tool. Just sharpen it so that you can make a hole in the can. To shotgun your beer.
Oh, that's messy. that's a lot of work. And then you just get burpy. Fake I don't know.
Fan. Fake. You have opportunities to use the Buster Sword bottle opener, and you say it's too messy.
Okay, Derek, fine. Walking in with your solutions. How dare you?
No, that is not a solution.
What alcohol else can I use though a bottle opener for? Only things with bottles. Does it have any other use?
Well, you know, most bottle openers, like especially like the one, you can open cans with them. Like that's how bartenders do it. They don't use their hands to open cans most of the time. They use the flat end of the can opener.
Huh? You can open cans?
Yeah.
Wait, like what kind of can? Like I'm making a nice tomato soup?
No, like a can of beer.
Oh my God, my brain went somewhere else. Oh, like, I can open all my cans with a bottle opener?
Yeah, because you know there's like the long flat part? You put that underneath the tab and lift up.
His is Buster's sword shaped, so
well, now technically, yeah,
it's technically.
Well, I mean, the Buster short has a long, long wide part. It's called the entire sword.
Yeah.
Here, 1 second. I'm gonna go grab a can. We're gonna open it with the Buster sword. I'll be right back.
Oh, it takes so little to make Andy so happy, Derek. You know that, right? That you could take the long flat end of a can, a beer bottle opener, and open a beer with it.
Yeah. The only thing I learned recently was that there's a type of wine bottle opener where it's like two thin bars of metal and not just about as long as the cork, and you push it through between the bottle and the cork, and then you just pull and twist and it comes out.
I'm trying to.
I'll get a picture for you.
There's three technically if you count the rabbit, but there's two kinds of wine openers. There's one where it's just the corkscrew and it has the lever that attaches to the lip of the bottle. And then there's the arm one where you screw the corkscrew in and it raises up these two arms as you screw it in. And then you push down on those two arms and then the cork comes up.
I gave you a picture of it so that you can see.
Where did you put this picture?
I put it into our Slack.
Okay.
It is, as Derek described, a two long thin pieces of metal that I guess go on either side of the cork and somehow lift it up. I don't understand how that conceptually works.
No, my buddy had a little alcohol already in the system, tried it out and made a huge mess and pushed the cork into the bottle. So yeah, I don't know either, but it's apparently a thing.
All right, Andy, let's see. How's the Buster sword do?
So, unfortunately, the only thing in cans I have is tonic. So we're going to be making a gin and tonic live during this podcast. I don't know how to use it. So I'm not using the actual bottle opener part.
Yep. Like,
where is the bottle? Where is describe this Buster sword bottle opener to me. Where is the bottle opener part? Is it on the blade?
No, it's like it's cut out into the blade.
Okay. So take the edge of the Buster sword, like the tip.
Yeah, I guess I could do it that way.
Yeah, and then you put that underneath the tab and then lift up.
All right, get ready for a refreshing burst. This isn't efficient. It got stuck. Oh, it's not.
Yeah.
It's still not. I'm going to break the tab off.
So bartenders use a generic.
They do not
one.
Do this.
They do.
They
with
do.
The generic
I've seen
one.
Them.
They do not.
Yeah.
Here, I'm going to go get my bartender bottle opener. I'll be right back. Oh.
This is astounding audio as Andy goes and gets props.
I think.
Okay, I'm back.
Okay.
All right. So now I'm opening it with an actual bartender one, or at least the one. Okay, maybe I just don't know what I'm doing. There we go. I'm never doing it again.
Well, yeah, but if you have to open like 100 cans overnight, you don't want to do it with your finger.
You know what? That's fair.
Yeah.
I guess I've never paid attention.
And also, as a consumer, I appreciate them not putting their hands right where I'm about to drink from.
Drink, yeah. Also true.
We're all living our life together. But, well, thank you for guiding me through that. We are not getting more use out of my Buster sword, though, unfortunately.
No, I'm sorry.
But that's okay. And now we're finishing off a handle of gin that had about a drink left in it, and someone told me to throw it away anyways.
Wasteful. That's weird.
Yeah, they're wasteful. They're monsters.
Well, speaking of Buster Swords.
Yeah?
It's the eve of Final Fantasy VII Rebirth coming out as we record this. Yes, it is. Comes out midnight tonight. I'll probably pay a little tonight.
Well, remember midnight releases?
Yeah.
That's a thing. Is anybody doing a midnight release for Rebirth?
No.
There's got to be some. There's got to be a GameStop somewhere where everybody knows each other's names. And they all came together tonight to celebrate.
If it was anyone, it would not be a GameStop. It'd be like some local store.
Yeah. Like a comic shop that also sells games or something like that.
I don't think GameStop opens at midnight releases except for consoles now.
And are there even that? Oh, that might be applicable to our later story. But I can't open the lime juice.
Use your teeth. So the reviews are out. God, reviews have been out for a week. Currently sitting an Open Critic at a 93, which actually rates it the second highest Final Fantasy of all time.
Really?
Yep.
What's nine the highest?
Nine is the highest at 94.
Oh, screw you.
As it belongs.
Derek, stop. How dare you?
Look, don't let a more forgettable cast get in the way of admitting that it had better gameplay. Okay?
Really? Better gameplay?
100 nobles agree. It's the highest rated game.
Oh, I genuinely can't open this.
Yeah, but we're not here to talk about how great 9 is.
That's interesting. What was Remake then?
Remake was, I think it was in the 80s. Yeah. Hold on.
And you got to remember, people were promised a one-for-one remake. In like a demonic contract in blood, we were promised. Because that's what fans thought they were going to get. They weren't promised it, but...
Yeah, we got a good...
Yeah, Remake came in at an 88.
No!
Yep.
B plus.
Still a good grade. Yep. I would have been happy with that in college.
Andy, you know what's sitting at a... You know what Final Fantasy sits at a 92?
No.
Final Fantasy 12.
Really? The Remake or the original?
The original.
The original. Oh, I remember everybody hating it when it came out.
Yeah, I guess not. I guess I'm validated.
Yes, you are, buddy.
Eurogamer's Ed Nightingale gave it a 4 out of 5. Rebirth is a playful take on an emo classic that's bloated but full of character and a bit to justify its own existence. That's ouch. This is actually an interesting thing, and we'll talk about this more. I've heard a lot. Michael Hingham at IGN gave it a 9 out of 10. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth impressively builds off what Remake set in motion, bolsters a best-in-class action RPG full of exciting challenges and awe-inspiring recreation of a world that has meant so much to so many for so long. And then Tamor Hussein at GameSpot gave it 8 out of 10. Rebirth keeps its narrative focus on characters while bringing new dimensions to combat, but it stumbles in its pivotal moments. Oh. And that's an interesting thing. I've seen a lot of reviews about this game, and I think there's been a lot of discussion of this game succeeds despite itself.
Really? What does that mean?
There are parts
and
of
no
this
spoilers
game.
Or I'll kill you.
Yeah, I'm not. I mean, I have no idea about the story. Mechanics wise, I know a little bit. Did you play the demo, Andy?
No, I'm like almost completely blind to this game.
Okay. So
I should say
that's fine. I mean, what I'm going to say is nothing that's like shocking, right? Mm-hmm. Based on trailers you've already seen, like there's 100 mini games in this thing, which we've been kind of talking about since the trailers have come out. And the mini games are a little narratively breaking. I think people have said that the mini games are essentially there to pad out the game because it's the middle part of the story. So not a lot can happen because they can only really do so much right here, because then they'll tip into the end part, which is going to be the third game. So they have to keep in this comfortable middle. So because of that, these mini games are kind of filling in a little bit of the narrative, like bloat. Or less than bloat, I should say.
So I have a... So this is one of the few games where I say it might actually deserve the 10 out of 10.
Ooh.
Despite this slog that you're describing. And that is Cloud in a Swimsuit.
Oh, good. They all got swimsuits then. I don't think Kawhi was in a swimsuit in the original, was he?
I think, too, some people have said that where it's like the introducing actual RPG like party mechanics into the series where you can actually like choose how to Cloud responds to things, where it's like you can be like positive Cloud, where it's like, hey, buddy, you'll get him next time, you know, or something like that, as opposed to being kind of like the gruff, distant loner. Which I hear sometimes some party members are like, that doesn't sound like Cloud.
That's kind of cool.
But most of the minigames are good, especially Queen's Blood, which is the card-based minigame. I've heard nothing but praise for it. So that's something I'm looking forward to. But most of the minigames at least are not optional to play at least once. So you kind of have to play every one of the minigames at least once because the story kind of throws you into them, which, again, gets to that kind of ludonarrative dissonance thing where it's like, yeah, you know, there's this big deal going on, but hey, let's race some chocobos.
Okay, they had all of that in the original, though, I think.
No, it did. It did. And that's not to say it isn't true to the series. Fans would have been
livid, although I don't think anybody said ludonarrative dissonance when in 97 when that came out.
They did not.
We were not that. We just weren't. All right. All of my games were reviewed by, Game Bros? What would you call them? I don't know. It wasn't the height of writing, though.
Because games journalists.
Really?
The other thing is my traversal.
Sorry.
Yeah. There. Also, another thing is traversal is a touch slow. They've added, I don't want to say parkour, but like climbing mechanics to the game. This is in the demo, so you can experience it. And it's slow. It's slow.
Yeah, but it's entirely optional.
No, right? It's not. No. You're going to have to go places sometimes on very slow climbs. And I mean, again, right, RPGs like this encourage you to explore every inch of the map. So when you have to slowly climb up and down things, it just kind of like kills the pacing. And again, these are complaints I've heard from a lot of reviews. Mm. Something I did actually, interestingly, Andy, I did hear people comparing this to Infinite Wealth because it came out recently. And Infinite Wealth actually does the party RPG mechanics a little better. Whereas like, you know, now that like you're saying, like you can have these kinds of like conversations and quote unquote dates with your team members at a Golden Saucer, I guess. But it's all kind of done in like a mission based thing. Whereas in Infinite Wealth, you know, while you're wandering around the world, there's these conversations that just organically pop up that helps you learn about your things. And it feels more natural in Infinite Wealth than say it does in Rebirth.
Sure.
So some things that Yakuza does better.
Oh, listen,
but again, I'm describing a bunch of things that are like bad. Right. But the other, I still hear Evan go, it's still a great game. It's still a great game. I have heard there's some confusion about the story.
Uh-oh. So,
yeah. It doesn't sound like it ends on the most satisfying note.
I mean, we got a third game.
Yeah, we got a third. Well, you know, that's the curse of the middle game, you know.
It doesn't sound, though, like Nomura messed it up too much from what you're describing. Well, don't you dare say anything.
I mean, the reviews don't include spoilers, so.
No, and I haven't. TikTok hasn't spoiled anything for me, shockingly. I mean, it probably will eventually. But yeah, I mean, they said the narrative can be confusing at times and the ending leaves something to be satisfied. Now, whether or not individual players will feel that when we get there, I've heard the word confusing thrown around a lot for the ending.
Sure.
So. And what does someone say? It's very much more like Kingdom Hearts storytelling than Final Fantasy. No, story.
That was my worry.
You got Nomura. You knew this.
No.
But
he'll make versus 13 if it's the death of a man.
This is literally the worst case scenario. Literally what you
Well, I mean, here's the thing. Now I've set your expectations low. When you go in and it's not so bad, you'll feel better about it.
I don't know about that. Oh man.
I have heard people compare it to Kingdom Hearts storytelling. So that is something. It is a concern of mine, because honestly, I liked how Remake ended. I thought it was like a very I thought it was very interesting, and it left the story out in like a very kind of like, hey, anything can happen kind of point. So
okay. So Andy, take solace in this. It has a hint of Kingdom Hearts, but you're probably not gonna get a canon story in a mobile game that's no longer able to be played. Or a card game. Like Kingdom Hearts is wild.
Kingdom Hearts is wild. Again, my only exposure is the first game, and even that was tough. My heart just sank.
It'll be okay, Andy. But here's the thing. Again, all these things, people complain about all these things. They still gave it a 93, and
I think it's at 100% recommend the game.
100% right? Recommend
from the game. Audience who it's not available to buy it until midnight. So,
oh, I thought that was the critics that do that.
No, that's critics recommendation.
Oh, it's okay. I
thought 100% critics recommend. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean,
can you all just realize Nomura's not good at his job? Like, genuinely, he's not.
It doesn't matter. He gets attached to series and IPs that people love dearly.
I mean, so maybe he starts doing a good job and then he messes it up. I don't know. I don't think I'm being quite as fair to him, but I'm just frustrated.
On a lot of negatives. I would say other notable positives. The game is beautiful. Beautiful.
Well, that was the one controversy I heard, is that it looked like a PS3 game.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I guess everybody was dunking on it, like that the graphics
on Rebirth or Remake?
Rebirth.
Oh, I don't know. I heard the game's, I mean, just the facial animations, everything like that. It's what I've seen the game look, and the demo too. The demo looked really nice.
I think so. People are just
idiot. There are several tiers of settings, like for the graphics. You can have performance mode where it may be rough around the edges if you're on a base, like the oldest PS5 that can play it, but they also have the beauty.
There's only one PS5, Derek.
Okay. Hey, we got a. I'm sure there's a Pro coming.
But
yeah, so there's rumors that devs are getting specs on the Pro recently. As so, the PS4 Pro may be coming, honestly, this Christmas, but we'll see.
Well, I'll probably play on pretty mode.
Yeah, but after this, really? I'll link you a video of the comparison. I think it was in the last trailer, actually.
Oh.
So
I don't know. Hey, playing the demo, I mean, I've heard a lot of people say the game looks nice and the open world looks good. Similarly to the combat has improved.
And the first
people one, actually praise it better than it's better than 16.
Oh, I by the end of 16, I was ready to move on. But
but 16 got a lot of praise for its combat.
Definitely for trying something new and so different. I thought it did a really good job.
Yeah, it's definitely an evolution of the combat in Remake. And now with the synergy attacks that were in Intermission are now fully integrated with everyone.
Cool. How lucky we are.
Yep. And you only have to wait, what is it, 2.5 hours to play it.
Oh, well, there we go. Well, no, I have the basic version on pre-order. So
did you get physical, Andy?
What's up?
Did you get physical?
Yes, I have it pre-ordered at Best Buy, which I realized do you guys ever go to Best Buy?
No.
Like, the vibe is so different now. Like, when
it's like it's an appliance store more than anything.
So,
well, it's like a viewing room for Amazon.
And like, listen, so that part doesn't bother me as much. It's like, at least the ones near me, they are convinced you are going to steal. Like, they are convinced.
Oh, yeah.
So everything is either locked up, or it's paper slips, or it's QR codes to scan to get help. And it's just a bad feeling.
Okay, mine is not like that.
It's
are you picking it up? Are you picking it up tomorrow or are you getting it delivered?
So I'm picking it up. So, and okay. I just did pre-order at the counter because it's just the same thing. I'm just going to have to ask or like get a slip of paper. But I will say when I was there a couple times ago, someone was running out holding things and stealing. So, and then people were chasing him. And then I think they like stopped in the parking lot. So maybe everybody is stealing from them. I don't know. But it's just sad to like be like to it's just they just think you're going to steal. Oh, I don't know. It's very sad. It's not as magical as it once was, but I will be picking it up tomorrow.
Well, you know what people will probably try to be stealing?
What's that?
Nintendo's successor to the Switch.
Oh.
But that won't be until March of next year.
Oh.
Yeah, so the Switch 2, which we still don't have a name for. There was a big rumor that it was coming out Christmas time, 2024. And everybody was kind of coalescing around that. And then everybody kind of stopped and went, actually, it's now going to be March. And this has now been confirmed, I guess, or at least backed up by a Japanese news publication, Nikkei, which was reported first by VGCs and others earlier this month, that Nintendo has moved it to March to help avoid potential hardware supply issues. So there was a thought too that they're doing it so they could have, you know, kind of a good game release lineup when the new Switch comes out. But
I mean, both are good reasons.
I mean, I don't know if you, I mean, do you guys, did you get a Switch on launch? I know Derek doesn't have one. Did you, Andy?
I did not. No.
Yeah, it was very hard to get this. One. Yeah, it was very hard to get.
Deal, didn't you?
I got one. I famously went to a mall parking lot and paid a man in cash to get my Switch because it had the best Zelda of all time, which it did.
Oh, is that your favorite Zelda?
No, but it's one of the best Zeldas of all time.
Okay, fair.
So, yeah, I was like, oh, I'll switch. You know what? It's fine. I'll skip. I'll wait. I'll get a Switch later. And everyone's like, this Zelda's real good. I'm like, fuck.
I bought that Zelda on Wii U.
I wasn't going to do that.
Yeah, that's fair. You know, there was something else in that article that talked about how when this was revealed that Nintendo's delaying it until March, their stock dropped by like 8%.
That's normal.
But here's the thing I don't understand.
It's because they're missing the Christmas sale.
But they're still going to make a ton of money.
Yeah, but the idea is that if you can release it for Christmas, that it increases that quarter's financials. So it's like, and if it's coming out in March, there's a chance it gets delayed into later 2025, which in fiscal year talk is actually 2026 fiscal year. So it's like a whole.
But why would you want to sell if you're still going to make the money?
Andy. You need to realize that stocks are basically imaginary prices. Rivian, who loses money on every car sale, is still a very valued stock for some reason.
You're not wrong, Derek.
I mean, the other thing, too, is that people sell it because they're like, oh, well, their stock price isn't going to go up because of good sales and good numbers. So we're going to go put our money in something else for now. And we'll come back and buy it later when it's closer.
Oh, okay. Yeah, to be fair, I'm naive to that complete process. It's just in my brain, I was just thinking they're just going to print money a couple months later. Like, what are you worried about? Wait a couple months for more money.
Yeah.
Can we do that?
A lot of families will spend much more than they can normally afford for Christmas. They've been saving all year for it. And, you know, the average and below average family might not be able to afford a Switch unless it's Christmas or birthday.
That's too
fair, but I think it's still going to sell out.
Yeah. It's really just because their quarter growth is going to be slower because it's coming out in a different quarter. So people are like, oh, well, I'm going to put my money somewhere else for now.
Guys, let's just like chill. All right, let's wait a couple months. But then again,
God, that Switch 2 needs to come out yesterday, though.
Why?
Oh, my God. Not that this is necessarily the Switch's fault, because Tears of the Kingdom went pretty damn well. honestly. But I kind of was like, you know what? I'm going to start replaying Pokemon Scarlet. Or not replaying, finishing it, because I didn't really finish Pokemon Scarlet when it came out. And man, even after all the patches, that thing still runs like shit.
Oh, no.
Was it 2 DLCs have come out for that game and it still runs like trash?
Wow. And just to be clear, you're talking about in the docked mode, not the mobile.
Oh, in handheld.
So, but it still ran like trash on the dock?
I haven't played it in docked yet. I don't really play my Switch in docked mode as much anymore.
I mean, that's fair for most people's use cases, but it might run really well in the dock. But then again,
I mean, I doubt it makes that big of an improvement. Because there's dips down to like 15 FPS with huge popping. It's like pretty bad.
Oof.
Oof. Okay, quick review corner. I bought Prince of Persia for Switch, the new one.
Which also ran super well on the Switch.
It runs fantastic. And it's also fantastic. Like, it is weird how good of a game that is. I don't know why. I just expected that games aren't good. Like, a game just won't be good. It's fantastic. Please buy it. I want more games like that. It's incredible.
It sold really well, and actually the director came out and thanked everyone for
it. Oh, it sold well?
Yeah, it sold well. Director talked about how they're actually they have some post-release plans for that game as well. So
that makes me so happy. I just assumed because it's a single-player game, Ubisoft wasn't going to care about it, but apparently did. They did a great job. And then there was just never going to be more. But that's wonderful. It's so good. So good. Oh.
But back to Pokemon, though. I don't think you can really blame the hardware as much as
that's what I said. Yeah, it's not necessarily the Switch's fault. But having better hardware would allow me to brute force my way through Game Freak's poor optimization.
Do you think you'll finish it, or will you stop?
No. Well, I mean, I'm gonna slow down because I'm gonna play it kind of as in between break while I'm playing 7. So I don't know. We'll see how long it takes me to beat 7. I'll probably beat 7 by next weekend.
You are a machine, and I'm just envious.
We'll see. Well, I don't know how big it is.
Yeah, to be fair, I don't know how long it's gonna take. But
they're like, I'm getting into double digit chapters after playing 18 hours. So I don't know how many chapters they're going to be, but
I just expect everything to take me 80 hours. I just can't do anything faster than that.
And that's okay.
It is okay, except that it takes a long time. And then James has beaten 3 more games in that time. Oh, well.
Well, you know what game? Maybe I'll be speaking of Pokemon also.
Yes.
It was Pokemon Day this week.
Okay, what were really revealed?
They had their usual Pokemon Day Direct, where they talked a lot about mobile games, and then revealed the thing that everyone thought they were going to reveal, except not. No, they're not going back to black and white remakes, which is what everybody thought they were going to do. No, we're skipping over Gen 6, I think it's Gen 6, and going straight to Gen 7, which is X and Y, and they're doing Pokemon Legends ZA, which is set in the Kalos region, which was based on France and was the home for Pokemon X and Y, which never got a third version like most Pokemon do, or a second version, I should say.
Is ZA a singular game then?
It is probably going to be a sequel to X and Y. Or maybe a prequel based on what this trailer shows, because the trailer talks about redevelopment. So there is this idea that maybe this game takes place when you're building up the Lumino City in the Kalos region, which is like the main city. So okay. Pokemon Legends is Arceus took place in like, I don't know, how would you describe that?
Like
medieval, but it was firmly in the past. Sure. In a pre-electricity world.
Mm-hmm.
Pokemon's Legend ZA seems like it's going to be taking place in kind of almost Industrial Revolution timeline, almost, it kind of seems. But then also it shows holograms, so could potentially even go further into the future. It's very confusing. We won't know more. It's not coming until 2025. Perhaps a launch title for the Switch.
So it is being branded with the Nintendo Switch logo, but since they haven't actually officially announced the Switch 2 or whatever they name it, it could be. Yeah. But it's going to be accessible on your old Switch.
As well. Oh, I 100% expect it to be. Because, listen, fucking Switch Pokemon games are going to be available on the first gen Switch for as long as Switch exists. I guarantee you.
It's the FIFA for Nintendo, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for those who are questioning what this is about FIFA, they released FIFA on the PS2 well into like the 2010s.
It just kept going. Everybody has a PS2.
And
everybody wants to play FIFA.
Let me tell you some deep Pokemon lore.
I want to know all of it.
So in X and Y, there's a lot of talk about a great war, a great Pokemon war that occurred 3,000 years ago. And you and one of the characters you meet is a tall man. And by I mean tall, he's 9 feet tall.
Holy like, moly.
That's like in his official description or like long as he's 9 feet tall. And this man is actually the emperor from 3,000 years ago. And do you want to know what his name is, Andy?
What?
A-Z.
Oh, and this was in XY?
This was in XY. And what's the name of this new game? It's C-A. It's
Z-A. What does that mean?
I don't know.
Well, the kids call the Zaza something James loves.
What is Zaza? Yeah,
it's weed.
Oh, is it? Oh.
They also showed the Mega Evolution logo at the end of the trailer for this as well, which meaning they're bringing back Mega Evolutions, which, frankly speaking, are my favorite of the extra abilities that they've added to games recently.
So what is a Mega Evolution?
Basically, you can kind of evolve your Pokemon an extra time during battle. Just during the battle, and it becomes more powerful and gains access to different skills and things like that.
Do they get bigger?
It depends on the Pokemon. Okay. Usually they get bigger, though.
Yeah.
It's not like Gigantamax, which was in Sword and Shield, where they get to the size of a fucking Colosseum. this is just more of like, it's literally like an evolution. Like Mega Gengar is just kind of like a different shaped Gengar.
So there's one difference, though, that I really appreciate for the competitive scene.
Oh.
That it changes to types. So you
can change their types, yeah.
Yeah. So you can mind game and then like try to draw out something that's strong against what you could Mega Evolution into, and then just hit him with the left hook, which I like.
Yeah. People are not, I don't know if they're split on Mega Evolution, but they're definitely it was the most interesting, I think, in terms of like these gimmick things they've done. And it's because, honestly, they put the most effort into it because they had to create new models for Mega Evolutions. Gigantamax sometimes had new models. In the newest one, in Scarlet Violet, there's terastasizing, in which they just become crystalline and they get a hat.
Ooh. Oh, wait, right. Okay, yeah.
But that's not as like, you know, labor intensive on their side or visually interesting, I would say.
They have more money than God. And it's not like there's even that much detail to their character designs. God, come on, Pokemon Company. Like, I know you can do it. Or no, not Game Freak, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Game Freak and the Pokemon Company go hand in hand.
It's just like I'm looking at this screenshot from Final Fantasy VII on all this like insane detail and all this stuff. And it's like, I don't know. Because I just know they didn't put all the Pokemon into the new one or whatever I heard.
They don't usually do that most of the time now.
Oh, for some reason I thought they always did, and that's why people lost their mind.
No, I get tired if there's more than like 350.
Why did everybody lose their mind?
I mean, everyone's got their favorite Pokemon, so it's like if it's not included, it kind of sucks.
Well, then I no longer care.
Yeah, I mean, there's 1,000+ Pokemon at this point.
It sounds annoying, yeah.
I'm looking forward to this. I generally enjoyed Pokemon Legends Arceus. I thought it was a nice little spin on the formula. Frankly, I enjoyed Arceus more than I enjoyed Sword and Shield, and so far Scarlet. I don't know. The way they're talking about it seems like it's going to literally take place only in the city, which is kind of confusing because how are you going to catch Pokemon if you're only in the city? But I don't know. It's weird. We'll see. We'll find out more. We'll probably this summer we get some more information about it. Or usually, actually, Pokemon information usually comes out in November. So maybe November we'll get a Pokemon Direct that will tell us more about what's coming up.
Okay. Maybe there'll be biomes. I just remember there was like circles in the trailer.
Yeah.
The trailer was like really expecting me to know what was going on. And
yeah, it really expected you to understand the Kalos region.
Exactly. It was just winking repeatedly. I had no idea what it was trying to get across.
Well, I've got a game for you to play while we wait for Pokemon's Legend ZA.
Tell us.
That's Balatro.
Yeah, I had never heard of this game.
Oh, I fucking love Balatro. Really? So Balatro is a indie game made by one person. It came out last week. It came out on the 20th. And it is a poker-based roguelike. I actually ascribe it being closer to Yahtzee, if you're familiar with the Yahtzee, where you're in Yahtzee, you roll dice and you're trying to essentially get poker hands. And those are assigned a score value. Am I the only person who's ever played Yahtzee?
I played it way back when.
Okay. I don't recall playing it.
I had like a handheld toilet version.
Yes, yes. I love it. Yeah, my father was obsessed with it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so basically you have a deck of 52 cards which you can augment, you can change. You can get you can get abilities that allow you to change suits that are add make them wild cards. And then you also get jokers, which have kind of abilities to give you multipliers or bonuses to your card hands. So it's like, you know, when you play a flush, increase your score times two or something like that. Mm. So. But basically what you're trying to do is create poker hands that beat the score that it gives you. So it's like in the first one, it's like score 600 points. And you do that by playing poker hands, and the poker hands have score values assigned to them. And it's super fucking fun.
Now, you're a poker person, right?
No, I hate poker. Well, I mean, I'll never play poker with anyone.
But you find that, well, I guess you're not playing against anyone, right?
No, it's player only.
It sounds very complicated.
And most people agree with me because it grossed $1 million in 8 hours.
Where did people even find out about this?
So it hit big during Steam Next Fest.
Oh.
A demo came out. I played that demo probably for like 15 hours.
No way.
Yeah. Demo was real good.
Hey, look at Next Fest, by the way. All right, lifting up independent creators. It worked.
Yeah, they sold 250,000 copies across PC, PS5, Xbox, and Switch within its first 3 days.
That's crazy. Good on them. Did that one person port it to all those consoles?
I think so. Their publisher, what's their publisher's name? PlayStack probably helped with the porting.
Sure.
But yeah, it's a one man development team. And I mean, it's a very simple game. It's so simple. Like, I mean, in general too, it scored a 91 on OpenCritic.
Oh, hey, worse than seven though.
Worse than seven. Better than Remake.
Wow.
Just actually give you some reviews because maybe they can kind of give a little more context too. Corvo Rahau, I don't know his name, a Gaming Trend gave it a 90 out of 100. While the idea of a poker roguelike might sound like a niche game, the flair and fun found within Balatro makes it an absolute must play for fans of the genre. Breaking the rules of poker to score millions of chips in a single hand was a rush, and I was always chasing ways to push it even further beyond. While there are a few times you can feel snubbed by the luck of the draw, these are wildly overshadowed by the moments where you hit it big.
So this is like gambling.
Actually, it was funny. My partner saw me playing. It's like, are you spending money? I'm like, no.
How much is the game?
I think it's 50. It's either $15 or $20. I think it was on sale when it first came out last week.
Sure. I was wondering if it was like a Vampire Diaries or what was that game called?
Vampire Survivor.
Yeah. because that was like $3. Like, I didn't understand how they made money. It was insane.
Well, they made money because everybody bought
it. Yeah. But it's just like after processing fees and everything, like
it is $15.
Okay.
Yeah, at full price.
At full price, yeah.
Reasonable ask. Affordable, I would say.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a game that, like, I found multiple combinations and way to win. Like, there are times where it's like I build a deck where it's like just trying to get a flush, where it's all get all the cards with the same suit. And I get these cards that increase the amount of chips I get when I play a flush. And I get these jokers that increase the multiplier of how many chips I get based on playing flush. And sometimes it's playing just a pair of cards, just two cards. And that's all I need to beat it, because I've gotten so many abilities that augment that.
Sure.
That so I just play one pair and I'm getting hundreds of thousands of chips.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You're playing on PC? It sounds like it would be a good bowl game.
Yeah, there's a discussion. I think the next place it'll show up is bowl, and it'll probably blow up on mobile when it goes up there too.
Because that's what I thought when I was like, I had a friend message me the other day, and he was like, Andy, recommend a good mobile game. And I couldn't say a single one.
Luck Be a Landlord.
What's that?
It is a deck builder game, more or less, but it's not based on a slot machine. So you are getting different icons that do different things. You put in the slot machine and you essentially spin the slot machine and try to get things to line up to do abilities to make money and use that money to pay your rent.
Well, I have a completely different opinion of a good mobile game. I think the only good mobile game are rhythm games and games that use GPS to track your movement and incorporate the real world into it. And yeah, my personal poison is Bang Dream Girls Band Party.
What is that?
It's a rhythm game. It's Japanese, obviously. And it is pretty fun. They do a lot of collaborations with existing IPs and VTubers.
That. Does that have keys in an eye?
No.
Trash.
Well, then why even bother?
I was thinking about her the other day. And I was like, don't fall down that rabbit hole, Andy. Stay away. But I love rhythm games. He was looking for a toilet game. I don't know. Can you play a rhythm game on the toilet?
Not in public. Yeah,
that's too engaging for a toilet game, I feel like.
No, the song is like 3 to 4 minutes, which is a healthy bowel movement time. So you can get 10 games in one sitting.
Yeah. The graphics look great. I don't know if I could play a rhythm game on the toilet. And you can't play
it. Luck Be a Landlord, Andy.
This looks like a toilet game.
It is.
This looks like you could roll out a couple.
Mm-hmm. It is shockingly addictive. I've gone back to it several times. It's a fun little game to play.
I wish I had a toilet game. Maybe it'll be Luck Be a Landlord.
Maybe you should try it, Andy. You might like it.
Yeah.
You like deck builder games, don't you? My voice just cracked.
No. Well, I have a mixed relationship, I should admit, too. I always said I hated them, but now I'm like, Andy, is that fair? Because I was playing a deck builder recently that was a lot of fun. But I don't know, like when they go like super in-depth, it was like what was it? It was described that it was similar to Dominion, I think, except it was skinned with like anime waifus and husbandos.
Of course it was.
Yeah, and it was a ton of fun. It was a ton of fun. Because usually with deck builders, I get really in my head about, am I building the optimal deck? And then I feel like an idiot, and then I'm not having fun. But this one was just, it was just a joy. It was just a joy. So maybe I do like deck builders. I think maybe in the right situations, I like deck builders. But I don't see how this is a deck builder. It looks like a slot machine.
Because your deck is the slot machine.
Gotcha. Well, I will keep you guys up to date on my next toilet time.
Don't worry, Andy. You also have Queen's Blood coming in Fantasy Rebirth to be your next deck builder.
What's that? Queen's Blood? I didn't even know that was a thing. So I'm gonna have to.
Yeah, there's a card game in there that everyone's tripping over themselves to say is fantastic and
so is
maybe one of the best parts of Rebirth.
Is it on the same tier as Gwent?
People have thrown around that it's as good as Gwent.
Okay. Well, now it has my attention.
Maybe I'll play this Final Fantasy game.
Didn't they try spinning off Gwent and then it didn't work?
Like it did. No, it worked. People play it.
Okay,
good. Yeah. I mean, it's niche, but people play it.
Well, I'm excited to see what it'll be like. Queen's Blood. Very dramatic, but I support it. Give me a toilet game, Final Fantasy VII.
Well, you know it's not a toilet game.
What's that?
That's the DLC to Elden Ring, Shadows of the Erdtree.
Oh, you don't want to play that from the toilet.
Last week, the Elden Ring basic more or less shadow dropped the trailer for this. I think it was Monday or Tuesday, they put out a tweet being, hey, by the way, tomorrow morning, we're giving you the trailer for Shadow of the Erdtree.
Wow.
Yep. And what a trailer.
Yeah. What do you guys think?
Oh, my.
Oh, it looks real big.
Like, is that a compliment?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, maybe
Derek, give your thoughts on it. What did you think?
The variety of the new things that I see just sparks joy. Aww. I see kicking martial arts. I see chain gun, like glowy crossbow. Like, oh, I see enemies I've never seen before, obviously. Although I do see that almost like lion-headed Sandman-esque boss. I can already tell that's going to be a chore, but in a good way. In a good way.
In a good way. I mean, they showed at least, I want to say, 5 or 6 Bane bosses, which means there's probably going to be at least double that.
Yeah, I got bad feeling about the red-haired one.
Mesmer?
Yeah.
Mesmer, who is the kind of the main villain of the trailer, is I have never seen this before. They are doing a collector's edition for the DLC.
Wow.
Which is, you know, that's ballsy. And the statue is of Mesmer, who is it was Melania for the first one. I don't think I'm gonna get the collector's edition this one just because the design of Mesmer doesn't spark as much joy in me as Melania's did.
That's fair. Now, when it comes to when it comes to these things, are these more like expansion packs than DLCs?
It's more like an expansion pack.
Because I don't feel like expansion pack is a word we can even use anymore. I feel like it's all DLC. But like, what do you describe the scale of something like this? DLC feels trivial.
Okay, so if you break DLC up
swimsuits,
if you break up a campaign into chapters, I expect maybe a DLC to be like a quarter to a third of the chapter content to be really amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And this one looks like it's aiming for that.
From Software did say afterwards in some conversations or like confirmations that the DLC, the new area of the DLC will be about the size of Limgrave, which is the first area of the game that you enter. Pretty good size.
Okay. Expansion pack size or DLC size? I want to bring this word back.
Expansion pack makes me think of Nintendo 64.
Oh, does it? Oh, it makes me think of StarCraft.
Yes, it may reminds me of RTSs.
Yeah,
implicitly.
I'm thinking the RAM expansion pack that you put into your N64.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Listen, I want to play Perfect Dark multiplayer. I think you needed it for that. I forgot, or maybe multiplayer only worked and needed it for the campaign. One of the two. But I guess maybe expansion pack wasn't used that much with games. I don't know. But it just sits firmly in my brain.
Oh, also, sorry, they also gave a release date for June 20th.
Mm.
Oh, I think I have an idea of the difference. Like an expansion pack adds like a new race or a new unit, like type that you can select, and usually like a campaign surrounded by them.
So this is an expansion pack?
No, they're just giving you more tools from what I can see, like, except maybe the kicking martial art, it all seems to align with the spells and arcana and abilities that's already existing.
Yeah,
and that might just
I mean they're definitely adding new weapons and new skills. There was one point the player character was wielding kind of this shield with two blades attached to it. They jumped up and had golden wings appear. That so that's pretty cool.
Awesome.
It is awesome.
I watched the trailer. I still don't want to play it. I want to like Elden Ring so bad. But I, to be fair though, like, and Derek, you were calling them out, like, these new classes. Well, they're not new classes, new weapons, new tools, whatever. Like, those looked cool. Like, those are my speed. All right. I can't hold a shield and parry all day. I need to do some dumb anime moves.
And that's what Elden Ring had from beginning to end.
Did it?
Yes.
I remember choosing the samurai. I don't know. We all know my experience. I hated it. And I feel so alone.
Some other notes, too. It looks like the entrance to the DLC is going to be in Moog's Arena. If you remember, there's an egg with an arm sticking out of it. And the person's name is escaping me. Who is that supposed to be? But Moog is about, I want to say, two-thirds through the game. So if you're planning on doing a replay of Elden Ring, probably a good idea to start maybe early June.
No, that way, hold on. You can reach Moog in like 10 minutes.
Yeah, if you feel like it. But if you want to like kind of replay the game and get your bearings back, gives you a good amount of time starting early June. I'm definitely going to do a new playthrough in preparation for it.
Aww.
Now, are you going to kill the dragon in the first 10 minutes on this playthrough?
That depends how much my muscle memory comes back for that.
Okay.
Can you dare?
Oh, it trivializes the first two bosses if you do it. Three, really, if you want to think about it. But
then you can brag about it.
Well, no. No, then you can just speed through the early content with being overleveled, and then, like, where's fun of that? Going through at level one, that's something impressive.
I definitely think the size of this DLC is kind of like Elden Ring 1.5. Is probably a good way to...
Is this Elden Ring Royale? Or I don't know what else we would call it, but...
I don't think so.
No?
Okay. It looks like just a new...
It was the new girl you can date.
It looks like new area. It looks like new people to meet and kill, like everyone else in Elden Ring. I'm looking
get mad at him. Other news that came out too. Let Me Solo Her said that when the DLC comes out, his watch may finally end.
Mm.
If you're not aware of Let Me Solo Her, he is a naked man wearing only a pot on his head who you can pretty reliably summon to beat Melania, who is widely considered the hardest boss of Elden Ring Vanilla.
That guy.
Yeah. He said his when the DLC comes out, his watch may be over finally.
Oh, okay. Now
I wouldn't be surprised if we see some mention of Let Me Solo Her somehow in this too, because that really took over the world when
it did. He was acknowledged by them, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, I wouldn't be surprised if part of this DLC is they put in an NPC summon there that you can just summon and have a good chance of beating Melania.
Oh, just put like a spirit in there. That's
yeah,
like
just put a spirit there and, you know, just live the meme.
Aww. Well, I'm glad that this game is coming out. All right. It's meeting everyone's expectations. I wonder how much it'll cost. Maybe like $40.
They said that too. $40.
Okay. That seems fair. The scope is way too big on it. That's why it's an expansion pack.
And that's also why it took almost 2 years to make.
Yeah.
What are the Final Fantasy 14 things called? Are those called expansion packs?
They're called expansions. They're just called expansions.
MMOs and terminology.
Wait, so was StarCraft called an expansion pack or an expansion?
It was an expansion pack. You paid $40 to get the next campaign.
Okay, so I'm bringing back an expansion pack. Okay. All right. Just wanted to make sure I wasn't being completely oblivious to something.
Well, Andy will bring back more dead terms on another episode of At Two Party, a friendship simulator masquerading as a new show. Mm-hmm. I've been your host, James. I can't solo her. Actually, I did. I beat her by on my own. Hartwell. And I've been joined by
Andy. I was going to say Elden Ring is trash, but that's not fair.
Oh, you can't.
I know. It's not fair. What is trash, though? I don't know. My Buster Sword at opening cans. Okay. And I've been joined by
Derek. Actually trash, because I was alluding to there being an older PS5 and a PS5 Pro. Kostya.
Listen,
call yourself a games journalist.
It was a good bet, Derek. All right. And it's on the horizon. Don't beat yourself.
I just remembered the performance mode and the graphics mode.
Yeah, you're right.
I think there is a new SKU PS5, but it's still the same specs.
There is a new SKU. Yep, you're right. I think it has better cooling and stuff. I don't know.
Yeah.
Who knows? Who knows?
Have a good night.
Have a good night, everyone. Or good morning, as Derek would say. Caught you. I'm more considerate.
I was going with the generic farewell.
Oh, well, I'm sorry I spoke over you then.
Bye.